too have enjoyed worship service thus far. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning, the name that is above every name, the name that will stand. And we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. I trust that you've come today praying that God would be honored in this service, and that you would be inspired and drawn closer to Him. And I trust that the prayers and the thoughts of worship began before you sat down in these benches this morning. I know in our busy lives, many times we hurry around and we come to church in the morning, and then we begin to think about the preacher and that he prepared a message, and we hope he did. But I trust that you've come praying that God would be honored today. Yesterday, as I was sitting and contemplating a message to share here this morning, my mind began thinking along the lines of, why do I go to church? Why do we come to church? What is the reason that we have chosen this morning to leave home and to get up and get around and come and sit down together in church? And I began to realize that there could be various answers to that question. There could be some different, maybe not different opinions, but various answers to the question, and maybe a few honest confessions about why we're here this morning. Why do we come together to meet together like this? And this morning I want to just open it up for a few moments and get some input from you as a congregation. Thoughts about why are we here? Why are you here this morning? What is the reason that you chose to be here this morning? And as you got up this morning and you thought about church, what motivated you to come? I just want to open it up for a few minutes here and just hear from you. It's not deep thoughts, just simple reasons for gathering together. Okay, it's encouraging to be with other Christians. Very good. Anything else? Feel like we need our cup filled again. Very good.
Come to worship and honor the name of the Lord.
Okay, we come to worship and honor the name of the Lord. Anything else? Those are all very good. I jotted down a few, and many of them have been already mentioned. But we come to worship God. We come to learn from God's Word. And I come together to worship God and come together to church to be refreshed by sitting together with God's people. It's one of the reasons that we come together. It's just refreshing to sit down and see your brother or your sister sitting there beside you and realize that I'm not alone in this battle. There's more of us than just me. We're working together in this. Like was shared, to get renewed energy, to get our cup filled again. Renewed energy for the battle. I think we come to church to find acceptance. And I don't think that's wrong. We come to church to find acceptance, both from our fellow man and also from God. We come to church because we know that we can come there, we can be ourselves, we can be open and honest and not be fearful what others will think about us. We can find help and acceptance in church. And then another thing I have down is simply we come to church because it's the right thing to do. And that can't be the only reason that we come to church, but the Bible clearly says that we are to, as we see the day approaching, as Satan ramps up the attacks on the church, we are to get together more and more often because we need that in order to be victorious in this struggle from earth to glory. This morning I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms. For an opening meditation, I'd like to turn to Psalm 33. And I'd like to read this chapter here in Psalms as an opening to the message. This is a psalm of praise, a psalm of adoration to Almighty God. And I'll just read the entire psalm at this time. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. I enjoy reading through the Psalms and feeling the heart cry of the psalmist as he pours out his heart in worship and adoration to God for his greatness. As I was thinking about a message this morning, my mind went to a few words in verse 8. The last part of verse 8, it says, stand in awe of him. And this morning I'd like to bring a message of praise and adoration of worship. And I'd like to title it, Stand in Awe. Stand in Awe. Recently, our family had the privilege of taking a little camping trip, and we went down to, I guess you'd call it southern central Ohio, to Hocking Hills, and we went, rented a cabin down there, we went hiking. And it was an awesome experience for me to simply take a few days and just walk out there and view the creation, view the magnificence of the power of God. And as we walked down those trails and we saw the rock formations, it became very real in my mind as solid evidence that these things didn't just happen. There's no way that millions of years in water can create things like that. Those who believe in evolution may try to somehow or another describe how it took place. But I believe that God, in his almighty wisdom, and in his imagination and his love for beauty, created those things. Somewhere behind the magnificence that we see around us, there has to be a creator. There is a creator. And that Sunday evening, as we took a hike and viewed Ash Cave, I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but Ash Cave is a huge cathedral, a huge cave, if you will, where you can stand, I don't know if it's 100 feet back in from the edge, and you can look up maybe 50, 60 feet above you and see the huge dome of the rock overhead where there's huge trees growing. And as we were standing there and as we were viewing that, there was a group of some others that were hiking, came up through. And I happened to know some of them. In fact, Paul Weaver was there. You know Paul Weaver. His church isn't very far from there. And a group of hikers came through, and there was some people from another country. I forget which country they were from. And they stood underneath there, and they looked up, and they said, "You couldn't engineer this. There's no way to do it. Think of the thousands of tons of weight that is suspended out there, and there's no prop in the middle." And he said, "There's only one answer. It's got to be God. Only God could do something like that." This morning we wanted to think about stand in awe before Him. What does it mean to stand in awe? What does it mean? What does awe mean? Well, the thought of standing in awe means to stand in a state of wonder. To stand in a state of wonder, of respect and fear. This morning, we're called to stand in awe before Him. There's no way we could cover all the different aspects of worship, the other different aspects of creation, of God's awesome power. There's no way this morning that we can even hardly scratch the surface. But this morning I want to think of three things that we want to ponder that help us to stir up our minds to stand in awe of our great Creator God. And the first thing we want to think about is the greatness of the solar system. When I talk about the solar system, I'm talking about the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, everything that's out there in the universe. But especially what we can see from the earth as we look out at night. This spring we had the privilege of spending a few days in Pensacola, Florida. And we stayed out at Daniel Carpenter's place. And I was impressed as we came home in the evenings after church. And it was dark out, and we stepped out and we viewed the sky and the clarity of the sky and how you could just look up without the distraction of cities and lights around you. And you could gaze up into the heavens and you could pick out the stars. And we know as we view into the skies that we could get a telescope, we could get a larger one, and there just seems to be no end. And somewhere out there is just all part of God's creation, part of God's handiwork. And as we think of the vastness of the solar system, as we think about the vastness of the heavens, then we have to think about how small you and I are. You know, some of you have the ability to touch many lives. Maybe the job that you have puts you in contact with lots of people. Maybe you have a business that enables you to put large sums of money towards helping foreign missions or even in your local community. And maybe you have the opportunity to own hundreds of acres of land. But it doesn't even come close to, even in some small way, comparing to the greatness of the works of God and what God is able to do. Today we need to stand in awe of God because of the greatness of His creation. I'd like to just turn back in Psalms to Psalms 8. I'd like to read a couple verses here. As we think about the heavens, and we just talked about how great they are and how there's no finding the end to them, then my mind went to Psalm 8. I'd like to just begin reading at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? And it continues on. But notice in verse 3, he says, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers. This morning, as we think of standing in awe, and we think about the greatness of creation and the greatness of the heavens, and he says it simply was the work of His fingers. It was something that was not an outlandish or an awful large task for Him. It was simply the work of His fingers. You know, as we look at creation, as we think of the beauty of nature, as we think of the vastness of the heavens, as we think of the awesome power of earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes and the destruction of flooding, and we see that there is a God that is in heaven who is in control of all of this, it should bring us to a place of tremendous awe and worship of this almighty Creator God. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, stand in awe before Him. Moving on to the second point that we want to look at in the message. Another reason that we should stand in awe this morning is because of His faithfulness in the past. One of the reasons that we need to stand in awe before God is because we realize that God carries out His keeps His promises. What God says will come to pass. And we need to stand in awe before God because as we look back into the Old Testament and we think about the children of Israel and God's chosen people down through the ages, we think about Noah and how God judged the world, but yet God looked down and He made a way possible for Noah and his family to live through that flood. He took care of them. We think about Abraham and the promise that God made to him that He would make of him a great nation and how it looked like it was impossible. And yet God miraculously made a way for Abraham and Sarah to have a son. And we come on up through and we think about Daniel in the lion's den. We think about the three Hebrew boys and the faithfulness of God to care and to provide and to make a way possible for them to live. His faithfulness that continued on so that a Savior could be brought into this world. There are many more accounts that we could look at. But we know we can trust Him today. We can know that God will be faithful. We can stand in awe before Him and trust our cares to Him, knowing that He will care for us today because of His faithfulness in the past. Because of His faithfulness in the past, we can trust Him to make a way for us in the future. I had to think of a couple of verses. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. 1 Peter 4, 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Today, we worship God. This morning, we want to turn our minds to God in worship because of his faithfulness in the past and his faithfulness to us today and the faithfulness that we know that will extend on into the future. Stand in awe before him because of the faithfulness he has shown in the past. Another reason to stand in awe is because of the completeness of his salvation. I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews. I want to think a little bit about the completeness of God's work of redemption, the completeness of his salvation. Hebrews chapter 7. We could read this entire chapter, but I think we're going to break in and begin reading. I think we'll just break in at verse 19. Thinking about standing in awe before the Creator God because of the completeness of his salvation. Verse 19, and I think we'll read down through the end of the chapter. For the law made nothing perfect. This is talking about the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament law, and God working with the people, the children of Israel, his chosen people, and moving on in and showing us how that Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, is much better than the sacrifices that they experienced. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly, which were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since a law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. I want to look especially... It's interesting to think about the better sacrifice and the greatness of God and his perfection and how he fulfilled all those prophecies. But we want to zero in this morning on verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them. The completeness of the sacrifice, the completeness of salvation, that was fulfilled and is made available through the death of Jesus, God's Son on the cross, is another reason that we need to stand in awe before Almighty God. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. There is nothing that is too big. There is no sin that is too, that is beyond the power of Jesus' sacrificial blood to save from sin. He is able to save them to the uttermost, cleanse the heart to the very core, and make a way possible that they can live in victory as well. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 10, read a couple verses there as well. Romans chapter 10, verses, we oftentimes read verses 9 and 10 in Romans 10, but we want to think about verses 11 and 12 this morning. Let's just go ahead and read verses 8 through 12. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to stand in awe before Almighty God, because we can know that his power for salvation is without limits. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin. There is no habit. There is no trait that we possess that we cannot find victory over through the power of Jesus Christ. This morning, as you think back on your lost condition, and as you ponder where you and I would be today had it not been for salvation, had it not been for the power of God in our lives, it should cause us to stand in awe before him. In fact, I believe that it should do more than cause us to stand in awe. I believe it should cause us to fall down before him, broken, realizing our undoneness, and realizing that in our own strength, we have nothing to offer God. In closing, as we think of standing in awe, you know, all of us stand in awe. All of us worship something. All of us have a focal point in our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, there is something that gets the ultimate attention from our life. All of us stand in awe of something. It could be, and I trust it is, Almighty God. But it could be our truck. It could be our car, our business. It could be our bank account. It could be our public image. There's something that we stand in awe of. And this morning, I want to leave the challenge that we stand in awe before Almighty God. That we're not willing to have other idols that we bow down to, but that we focus on worshiping our Creator God. Standing in awe comes fairly natural to us. I think it's rooted in our very nature to stand in awe of something. But we must be born again in order to properly stand in awe of our Creator God and worship Him in the way that He deserves. You know, God hates an outward worship without the heart being behind it. You and I can worship in the service this morning. The singing was beautiful. Our voices were raised. It was inspirational. But you and I could sit there and we could sing to the best of our ability. We could raise the praises loudly. But unless our heart is connected with God, unless if our spirit is connected with the Almighty in worship, it really doesn't mean anything. We can sing the songs, we can dress the right way, we can talk the talk. But unless our worship is a spiritual connection with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, it's of no value. John 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I trust this morning that you've been stirred, as I have, that your mind has been drawn to the Creator God, and that as we leave this place this morning, I trust that in a small way, that you've taken a moment, and that you've stood in awe before your Creator, allowing Him to receive the honor, and submitting yourself to simply be a servant in His kingdom. For who is a God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Stand in awe before Him and worship the God of heaven. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.